CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, Season 9, Episode 392. Get all your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, let's start with Disney Plus today. All right? Randy Whittle on Facebook, right. And you can Facebook us. That's a verb, but I'm going to use it as one. At Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Early thoughts on The Mandalorian and the Disney Plus streaming service. Matt, did you watch The Mandalorian last night?
I did not. We were engaged in other things. And I was going to watch it tonight, and we got busy with other stuff.
That's okay. I watched it for you. And you're going to like it, by the way. I'm predicting
Excellent.
That now. It was.
Can I watch it with all the kids? Will all the kids like it? How intense is it?
It's not super intense. There's a lot of blaster gun violence and random aliens dying. And then one alien gets cut in half by a door, but you don't see that.
I saw that in the preview.
Yeah. It was, I actually laughed. I don't know what that says about me. Cause in context, it was even funnier than it was in the trailer. So it's violent, but it's a Star Wars movie like level, you know, a Marvel movie like level of violence.
Okay. Yeah.
So far, one episode in, the next one comes out on Friday and the next one comes out on next Monday. So there'll be a lot.
And they're already
fast.
Filming season two.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Have you checked out the Disney Plus so far? Have you seen what it has to offer? Well, let me give you a little.
I've looked very little at it.
Let me give you a little preview, Matt, of some of the wonderful things you'll find on Disney Plus. Not that they need me to advertise for them, because they don't. But are you ready? Okay.
They've already signed up over 10 million people.
Yeah. I doubt our podcast is going to really move the needle here. But here we go. A couple of things that you might enjoy. All right. Darkwing Duck.
Oh, let's get dangerous.
All right. How about the 1990s X-Men cartoon? How about the 1982 Spider-Man and Friends with Iceman and Firestar?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get more on the Disney train here. How about the original Tron?
The original Tron.
How about Willow?
Willow. You idiot.
Yes. Which was part of Lucasfilm, so I assume that's how they got the rights to that. How about a show where, this one you're not going to enjoy, but where Kristen Bell reunites musicals from high school and middle-aged people get to get together and reenact the musical they did in high school. That's actually a show. I didn't make that up.
Wow.
Yeah, that one may not be up your alley. Anyway,
can I just go into my existing Hulu account and add all? I see they have a bundle available, but because I have Hulu and ESPN Plus.
No, you can't.
Do I have to cancel both of those things and then buy this?
Do you have Hulu Live TV?
Hulu. I have Hulu Live TV.
Okay. Then no, they do not have a bundle, because I contacted Hulu about this. They do not have a bundle today that's ESPN Plus, Hulu Live TV, and Disney Plus today. I'm assuming that's coming at some point.
Oh, so this Hulu bundle thing is not Hulu Live TV, it's just Hulu.
It's just the regular Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus.
And
the Disney ABC folks,
$6.99 to get the Disney Plus.
Very creative in the naming of their streaming services. ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, wow. The marketing team really went to town on that. It's like when you see
who
toilet
are the
paper
ad
that's
wizards
like,
who came up with this one.
It's like when, hey, it's Charmin Soft. Yeah, that'll work. No, Charmin Strong. What? No, I got it. Soft and strong. Stop it. All right. So anyway, I love the streaming service already. I'm thinking of dropping Netflix. Lots of good kids stuff on there too that I didn't even talk about yet, both old and new. And yeah, so
It's
Boy
where the
Meets World.
timeless characters meet the heroes of today.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm
And of course
I'm
all
definitely on their website right now.
the MCU stuff that's coming. All right. So Matt,
So
let's
where I would just want like a list. Where can I just I just want a like a straight list of what they've got here.
Google it, dude. Somebody has put it together, I'm sure. I'm sure. Already.
High School
It's been
Musical,
around
the
24.
series?
Yeah, there's a series. It's new. It's like a revamp, a retooling, a what do they call that?
Good gravy.
Yeah.
There's a word for it.
You can get lost. You can get lost in that Disney Plus site. We did, Kathleen and I did last night. My wife and I did last night. We were just like scrolling through. Oh my gosh. We made a list of things we need to see
So
that are on there.
where some of these movies were available previously on Netflix, are they no longer there?
Correct. With
Oh
some
dear,
exceptions.
Netflix.
But basically Disney has pulled almost all their stuff off of Netflix.
Oh, Netflix.
Oh,
You're in
Netflix.
trouble.
That's what I'm saying.
You're
But
in trouble.
then Stranger Things season 4, I'll be back. But that's the cool thing about this. I can drop Netflix now and re-sign up at any time. I can just take a 6 month break from Netflix and then take a 6 month break from Disney Plus. I'm just kidding. I'll never take a break from Disney Plus. Star Wars and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Anyway, Matt, let's climb on in the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So Travis Larson, that's at Larson underscore Travis on Twitter. And of course, you can tweet at us at BYU underscore Rice Shout. How about a shout out to the dominant women's soccer team? 18-0-1 record. Outscored opponents 68-9 during the season. A number two seeding heading into the NCAA tournament. Stonewall defense and a high octane offense. Ready to make lots of noise. Matt, 68-9, they have outscored their opponents this season.
June is
Interesting.
hilarious.
Amazing.
Is I had somebody just came into my Twitter feed earlier, was a shot chart, like a goal chart, and it had all of the goals where they had been scored from, and all the goals that had been scored on BYU women's soccer, and it's hilarious because the one obviously, I mean, you just read the numbers. I mean the goal chart. I mean they're all over the place, and then it's like bing 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 bing. Just like a couple of shots
Yeah.
on the other chart. It's I mean it's just that to me was the greatest visual interpretation of their dominance. It's amazing.
So we did in the off season the five, or was it five or six greatest teams in BYU sports history? Remember? I forget what the final number was. This team now is in that discussion. Well, already. They can only strengthen their
Yes.
case from here on out. I mean, 18-0-1, 68-9? That's insane. I know we've kind of in our new format stopped talking about the other sports because, quite frankly, you guys never ask about the other sports until Travis wanted us to give them a shout out. So, but props to them. They're amazing. And I wish I was in Provo and could go see some of these games this year, but we're not. I mean, I saw two on TV, I think, this year. Very good. Very good. Speaking of other sports besides football, our brother Don, that's at DP Mango on Twitter, says, any overreaction to the loss to San Diego State in basketball? Of course, this was the same dude that was asking us to overreact to the one win. I think we might now finish fourth behind Pepperdine and San Francisco. I think he means fifth. Now, he's never been great at math, but because aren't St. Mary's and Gonzaga still in the WCC?
Yeah, but I think that's part of his joke is that St. Mary's just lost.
Oh, that's too deep of a joke. St.
So
Mary's
I
is
think
still going to
that,
be number two.
but I think that's his joke is that they lost to Winthrop. Is that the name of that school that beat them?
I don't know. It
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
the Winthrop Eagles edged past St. Mary's, had them at home and lost 61-59.
Yeah, they had a bad loss like this last year out of conference, didn't
Dicey.
they? Didn't they
Dicey.
lose to somebody terrible last year? Anyway,
I don't know.
no, we're not going to finish fourth. And no, St. Mary's isn't going to finish fifth, whatever his joke is. Also, thoughts
I
on
don't
Disney
know.
Plus and The Mandalorian. We already did that. Sorry, Don. You're late.
He's only late because you organized the questions that way, but that's fine.
Maybe on purpose, but...
It is what it is.
But he didn't... I mean, I would have put him up top if he had told us what he thought of The Mandalorian.
Well, he did tell us in a text message.
Well, yeah, but I...
You two were texting about it for like 15 minutes this morning. I'm trying to get some work done. You guys are all chatty, chat, chatty, and I'm like, no spoilers, guys.
We didn't give you any spoilers, you big baby.
I know, and it was really like three text messages.
Yeah, it was like three text like messages that were about him having the only time his sons talked to him is when they asked for the password for the Disney Plus.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played, Michael. Well played.
Yeah, nice job. All right, next question is off of Facebook, Shane McDougald. Did the College Football Playoff Committee give the University of Utah a legitimate path to the playoff? Playoffs?
Playoffs?
What do you think, Matt? Looking at that ranking, what do you think? Does Utah have a chance?
More like one in a million. When I read this question from Shane McDougald, I reacted to it. I read it in the voice of the agent, Gabriel, from the State Farm ads, where he's like, did we just have a breakthrough? Did the College Football Committee give U of U a legitimate path to the playoff? And we're all like, no, in Aaron Rodgers style, right?
Okay, whoa, stop right there.
There was a lot there. There was a lot there.
They already had a path. It's not a probable one, but they have a path, and it's very simple. Ohio State has to lose probably twice, which is very possible, by the way. They have Penn State, Michigan, and the Big Ten championship game, right? Ohio State would have to lose twice.
And Georgia and Alabama both have to lose one more game.
I'm not entirely sure that's true. And hear me out. Alabama is clearly getting punished with their current ranking for not playing anybody off season. And right now, besides Auburn, they have nobody left. They can get leapt in this scenario because they're not going to be in the SEC championship. So they'd have to dominate Auburn, which they very well may. Again, we're talking about unlikely scenarios here, not the likely scenario. LSU is going to dominate and win out, so fine. They're done. Clemson doesn't play anybody, so there's two spots that are basically, I think, a given. I don't think Ohio State actually has a very good path. I feel like they drop at least one game, probably two, even as good as they are. Don't you? I mean, Michigan is not great, but it's a rivalry game. Penn State's going to be absolutely like, they're going to want to go out and prove something. And then there's no given that Minnesota is not actually one of the best five teams in the country. Is there?
Yeah, but even if Minnesota wins out, I don't know that they get in.
I'm not saying that they'll get in. I'm just saying
right. No, but
that
I
Ohio
what you're
State
saying. They might beat Ohio State. Sure.
But if Minnesota wins out and beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and they beat Wisconsin, they're in. There's no way you can keep an undefeated Big Ten champ out. It's the second best conference in America. You have to put them in. There's no way the committee doesn't put undefeated Minnesota in. They got a better shot than Utah, I think. But if they win out, I should say, I think they're going to lose, right? So, I mean,
I think you're right. Ohio State loses one game. I think
they lose at least.
It's not going to be Rutgers, but they're going to lose. They're going to lose either to Penn State or to Michigan,
and the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, Big Ten championship. I'd say all bets are off, right? Because I think that Minnesota's going to show up to that thing unbeaten.
I don't know. That Wisconsin game's
And Iowa's not a slouch either. That Wisconsin game's going to be tough, but it's at home. It's going to be the last game of the year. And if they're still undefeated, PJ Fleck is going to have them pretty well dialed in. I think they can pull it off.
I mean, nobody thought they were going to beat Penn State on Saturday, right? Did you think they were going to beat Penn State?
I did not at all, actually.
Okay, so you're four teams.
They rode the boat.
They rode the boat. You're four teams. Who do you think makes it? Not who's the best today, but who makes it?
Oh, man.
LSU and Clemson. Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, LSU and Clemson are both in.
Okay, so who are your other two?
I think Ohio State loses a game, and let's say they lose a Big Ten championship, they're out.
Okay.
Let's say the SEC, I think maybe still gets two teams in.
I don't think they get two teams in.
You think LSU beats Georgia in an SEC conference championship game? That gives Georgia two losses, and that knocks them out, huh?
Correct. Oh yeah, two losses, you're out. Nobody's getting in with two.
So now you've got. So now, but with that, at that point, you've got two spots.
Well, here's the thing: if Ohio State loses one game in season and wins the Big Ten championship, I feel like they have a better claim to a spot than Alabama.
But what if Ohio State's only loss is to Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game?
Well, if Minnesota's and the Big Ten's the second,
then you just take Minnesota. But do you also take Ohio State?
I think they've got as good of an argument.
Or do you take a one-loss Pac-12 champ?
I think they've got as good an argument as Alabama. I think what everyone's forgetting here is that this is a ranking of who gets in today, right? That's what the snapshots are. And people are thinking, oh, this is who they think is going to get it. No, that's what we're doing. Their snapshot is who would we do today? The problem for Alabama and Georgia both. I mean, if Georgia wins out, they win. They're in, right? They beat LSU in the SEC championship. LSU, that's the scenario where SEC gets into. Alabama, I don't think gets in. I think a one-loss Oklahoma, a one-loss Pac-12 team, I think the committee has to do that. Alabama played no one out of conference. Oklahoma did. Utah did. Oregon did. Georgia did. LSU did. You've got to punish Alabama. I think you have to.
I agree. So, and they didn't, if they don't make, and they have said that the tiebreaker for them, at least among the tiebreakers, is a conference championship.
Conference
game.
Championship and out-of-conference schedule. There's two things that they have emphasized.
So LSU runs the table, beats Georgia in a conference championship game, gives them two losses. Alabama didn't play anybody. SEC puts one team in, and it's LSU. Clemson runs the table. Their conference clearly doesn't get a second team. They're in.
Yeah, definitely. Then their next-ranked team is what? Do they even have a second team in the top 25?
Who, the
ACC?
ACC? Oh, they're terrible.
Oh my gosh. That's
they're terrible.
Why are
Clemson,
they
Power 5? I wouldn't even put Clemson in here. Like if I were voting, I wouldn't even put Clemson in.
They haven't played anybody either.
Clemson hasn't played anybody either. They're only in there because of their performance last year. It's the only reason they're there. Because we do it anyway. I wouldn't put them in, but the committee will. So LSU goes, Clemson goes. A two-loss Georgia team doesn't go. A Pac-12 champion goes. I'm going to just go BYU homer on this one and pick Oregon.
Wait a second. Clemson's not going to play a single good team all year. Oh, no.
Not a single one.
A&M. A&M's not terrible, but they're not
very good. So Clemson will play a single decent team the whole year and could end up winning a national championship.
Oh, that's stupid.
You know, all they have to do is outplay LSU on one day.
Yeah, that's stupid. I did not realize how bad their schedule was.
They could start game planning for that now. So then after that,
I think you got to take the
Big 12 champion.
I think Oregon and Utah have a path. I don't know that it's the most likely, but I think both of them have a path.
I think a Pac-12 champion gets in before a Big 12 champion does right now.
It depends on what happens, but yes, the only one that's getting in is
Oklahoma. I mean,
Baylor's undefeated, so maybe Baylor could get in. But speaking of not playing anybody, but why should they be punished for not playing anybody any more than Clemson? I mean, they're going to play Oklahoma twice, probably.
But they're going to punish Alabama for not playing anybody and not punish Clemson.
Yeah, but if you beat – fair enough. But if Baylor beats Oklahoma twice, don't you think they get in and they're undefeated? That's their path. Boy, that's a large –
I'd give you that.
That's a large. You got to beat Oklahoma twice and Texas, and you're with some pesky Kansas team that isn't good but seems to play okay sometimes. That's a long road for Baylor. Anyway, all right, let's move on from this. This isn't
so stupid.
Yeah, Clemson's terrible. They shouldn't be in the top five. I wouldn't put them in the top five. You got to beat somebody. Who have they beaten? They've beaten nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't have them in. I wouldn't have them in there.
I don't think they've got as good a resume as Utah and Oregon do today.
They only beat North Carolina by a point. It was their only close game.
Yeah, it's stupid. All right, Christian Draper, that's at the Gorilla One. He says, as to the rumors about who's calling the plays on offense, I have a pretty reliable source inside the program. Grimes makes the decision on run versus pass. If run, then Grimes makes the call. If pass, then it's Roderick's making the call. It seems to be what the narrative is right now, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's a kind of system that Grimes has operated in before, right? Where he was the run game coordinator at LSU. But the thing that's tricky about this is if that is the case, I think we all need to be careful about deciding that that means something about Grimes' job at the end of the year, because I don't think it does.
It doesn't necessarily. I think if the offense is humming, then which you can argue about whether it's humming. We had an amazing game against Utah State. The offense against Liberty State was not amazing.
It's just Liberty, by the way, because Liberty's not a state.
Whatever. Liberty State. I don't care. I didn't like those guys. I didn't like them. A lot of cheap shots in that game.
Hey, this was like their Super Bowl, man. I did not realize that their entire program like has been building up for this moment.
Well, I will say this. I'm glad they lost their Super Bowl.
Wow.
Well, I didn't like the cheap shots. Like, there was the one where ended up getting kneed in the head. And they've really got to clean this up in college football and the NFL, where guys, after they've tackled somebody, use that, well, I can step over them thing to hit the guy again.
Yeah.
Like
the twisting of legs and stuff as people are getting up, like they don't let go of a guy's leg.
Garbage. And then, you know, Simon gets, that guy took two steps after Simon released the ball and he gets hit. But remember, we're all about player safety. Yeah, player safety. Which, by the way, kudos to Simon for hanging in there, because he knew he was going to get absolutely hammered.
Yeah, Simon's kind of the man, though, right? I mean,
he is the man.
Incredible night.
Does everything.
Incredible night.
And Bushman almost made that play into a not top 10 sports center. But then he got it, so. Alex Saunders, that's at Alex Saunders 90, says, assuming Zach Wilson starts on Saturday, if we go up early, would you pull him out or leave him in? Our backups don't really need game time reps, so I'd like him in most of the game. Zach doesn't need a lot of prep for UMass, but I'd still like to see him get comfortable in the offense again. Thoughts? Matt, what do you think?
If Zach's healthy and starts, he plays the game just like he would play any other game. You leave him in there. You might take him out and let somebody else mop up in the fourth quarter or something, but I don't think you pull him out at halftime or anything. I mean, if he's healthy, he's healthy, and he plays the game.
Yep, I agree. And I think he'll this is an interesting deal for the BYU coaching staff right now, because I'm going to assume that Hall is out for the year. Okay, they haven't said that, right? They haven't said that unless I missed that headline.
They've not sent that.
So I'm going to assume he's out for the year. So assuming he's out for the year, you've got a quarterback that came in the second half and helped blow out Utah State and beat Boise State. Nothing against Zach Wilson, but that's as good as anything Zach Wilson has ever done since he's been here. Small sample size, but Baylor Romney has played really, really well. I mean, I think
he looks pretty good.
I think he's thrown three stupid passes total.
And he's thrown more touchdown passes than anybody.
You look at that and you're like, huh, weird.
He looks pretty good.
He looks pretty good. He looks pretty good. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see on Saturday who they decide to play.
It's going to be Zach. I think they're just being cute. I mean, what they said in all their post-practice presser stuff today, if you look at what Satake, Roderick, and Grimes are all saying, they've written it down and they've memorized it. They're all saying the same thing, right?
Yeah,
we're pretty,
sure.
We've pretty much decided what we want to do, but we're not going to tell anybody because we don't want our there's no need to tell our opponent who the quarterback is going to be. And then when they talked to Baylor, he said that they've split the reps, right? That they're doing half and half. Guys, Zach Wilson is going to start.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Zach Wilson's going to start. And he really is. The announcer said this on Saturday against Liberty. He really is Romney and Hall put together, right? He could run better than Romney can, though Romney's not terrible at running. I mean,
together some good runs.
The fake he gave on that, on what was that guy really supposed to go with the back? Do you really not have anyone on the pitch, man? Do you think that's what he was supposed to do? Or do you think he decided this gangly quarterback can't run?
Well, but see, that's the beauty of the option is you isolate that guy and then you force him to make a decision.
But don't most teams right? You hit the pitch, man?
Listen, but this is why the option works in college better than it does in the NFL.
Yeah.
A straight option like that in the NFL struggles. Now, people have been doing some of this RPO stuff and some of these other things in the NFL with some success. So I'll give you that. But that play doesn't work at the next level.
No, because the guy absolutely lights up the quarterback.
Defense is all about assignment football. Yeah. And somebody is out there to contain the pitch man, right?
Well, so quite frankly, with the speed at the NFL, that play doesn't work because the quarterback gets hit before he can even make a decision whether he pitches or not.
But that's right? But this is why it works. You force that guy to decide, well, this Baylor Romney guy is not much of a runner, so I'm going to cheat to the running back.
18
years
later.
And he paid for it. He paid for it. But that's what the option is you force a defender to sit on an island and pick.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was just well executed by Romney.
I mean, he can run too, right? We don't have any traditional drop back. I'm just going to stand here and I can't do anything else passers. And quite frankly, BYU should probably not recruit those guys, which they haven't. Conover's not that. I mean, they're recruiting guys that can move because we've seen how valuable that is this year. And in years past.
Right.
All right. So we got a couple of tweetback questions about what makes a successful season or how this season is going. So I'm going to read them together. The first one is from Andre Hutchins. That's at AC_Hutchins, who, by the way, he loves The Mandalorian so far.
Of course he does.
Yeah, well, you know. BYU should win out the rest of the way. I believe they'll be favored in every game, including San Diego State game. At 8-4... would you call it a successful season, potentially going 9-4 with a bowl game win? Hashtag tofu beef. Apparently you still got a tofu beef with you there, buddy.
Tofu beef isn't even a thing, Andre. It's not even a thing.
It is a thing. It's totally a thing. So you and I at the beginning of the year said it'd be a successful season if we're 8-4 going to the bowl game. Do you still go with that even with the way it turned out? So that's what Dave Broderick's asking on Facebook. Sports are the worst! Exclamation mark. Even when your team wins, it's not good enough. Help me navigate the emotional minefield of what if we hadn't lost to two really horrible teams? So here's the difference for me. 8-4 is a successful season. Even the weirdness of who we beat and who we lost to. 10-2 going into the bowl game would have been the chance of a special season. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to characterize it. I think a 9-4 season with a bowl game win, that is a successful season. But coming out 9-4 is only going to make this emotional minefield worse. Right? Because now you've got these what could have been and, you know, scenarios that everybody's going to be talking about. And you've still got this knock on, you know, we're losing a game or two that are just ridiculous every year. But at the same time, like the wins against Boise State and Utah State are a really big deal. And I think most of us get that, right? The regional rivalries, the regional recruiting. I mean, that is a big deal to get those two wins. You know, the two losses, these two terrible losses, yeah, it hurts. It's lame, you know, and the loss to Utah is lame. But, you know, 9-4, I mean, shoot. I mean, when we were staring down this gauntlet of a season in August, I think we all would have given a thumbs up to 9-4. Now, that was before we realized that two of those four were going to be, you know, who they were. You know, Rocket Man, DOS Punk, and whatever that other team was that we lost to.
Right, but we did at the beginning. You and I said 9-4 would be a good season, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
We were saying, you know, loss to USC and a loss to Boise,
P5 teams.
Right? You know, well, not four P5 teams. I think both of us predicted that we'd lose to Boise, right?
Right. Well, four teams who didn't have, you know, DOS Punk as their mascot.
Yeah. Fair enough. So if you look at who we've played and who we've beat and lost to so far, Utah, we made fun of people for this, even Utah fans. They may have one of the best teams they've ever had. And might be in the college football playoff. So
they could go to the playoff.
So that loss suddenly doesn't feel as bad, because at the time I wondered if they were overrated. Obviously the Tennessee win is, I mean, they're not great, but you won on the road at Neyland Stadium, so that's cool. USC, they're okay. That's a pretty good win, right? Even at home. Washington State doesn't turn out to be quite as good as we thought. So that one, that three-game stretch doesn't look great now, because Washington State is a team that maybe we should have been able to play with had we had an offense that wasn't completely inept at the time. And obviously, Toledo and USF are games we should have won. But then you
keep saying Washington State.
Washington State, whatever. I don't care. Washington State, it's all the same to me.
Somebody's going to tweet it at you. I'm just helping you out.
Yeah. I'd rather play Mike Leach so we can hear his post-game press conference. How's that?
Because,
I mean, Peterson's boring.
It's gold.
You know,
it's gold, Jerry.
He's just
gold.
Really good at coaching and stuff. I'd rather hear about who would win in a fight of mascots. A cougar or a cougar? I don't know. I would say a cougar from Utah than a cougar from Washington. Huh? I don't know what that means. So anyway, all right. So yeah, it's a minefield, Dave. I don't know what to tell you. So Steve, that's at Cougateer on Twitter. Is that like the Rocketeer, but the Cougateer?
Cougateer. That's pretty good.
Which, by the way,
I kind of like it.
Rocketeer. You can also see that on Disney Plus.
I haven't seen that movie since it came out in theaters.
Great show. Liberty has a home scheduled with New Mexico State this year. Is that true?
Yeah.
In season?
That is true. They are playing them twice in the season. I think Liberty actually has two teams they're playing twice this year. Yeah, that was their issue, right? Is that they couldn't get
it's their second year.
It's hard to fill out a schedule.
Yeah, so who on the current schedule would you like to play a second time at the opposite venue? I would like a chance against South Florida, this time in Provo. Just get the bad taste out of my mouth. Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. Who on this schedule would you like a second shot at the opposite venue?
Oh, man.
Toledo?
All of them?
I'd like a second shot at Toledo, because that would be a better win than USF. Not by much, but... I don't want Utah and Salt Lake.
No, I don't want Utah and Salt Lake. I don't want Washington on the road. I don't want to go to L.A. Yeah, Toledo's probably the one.
Toledo's the one for me. Or South Florida would be fine too, but Toledo might be a little bit better of a win. When it's
get
all
Toledo at home? Sure.
All right, so before we get to the big why, my fantasy book series, Empire of the Peaks, is on Kickstarter. We are like almost 20% funded towards the goal, so go check it out. A few listeners, including Alan Seawright, Jeff Johnston, have supported. So go check it out. Go to kickstarter.com/ I don't know, whatever. Just search Empire of the Peaks. Okay, so the big why is a question from Jared Nielsen off of Facebook about the 2020 season. So that's right, Matt. We're going to start talking about 2020.
Of course we are.
Because
of course we are.
We don't have to worry about looking ahead.
Listen, it's November 13th. There's two things we get to do right now. One, sing Christmas songs. Two, start talking about the 2020 football season.
Okay. So Jared says way too early, but no, it's not way too early, Jared.
Right on time.
This is perfect timing. Next year's football schedule looks formidable, particularly with the Utes and Gophers having a great year. Isn't this the schedule that we dreamed about when we went to Indy? We are bringing back a maturing team that could compete. What's your too early take on next season? Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag definitely going to many. Hashtag we need a special season. So, Matt, it's time to predict every game next year.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So we open. Okay. First, before we do that, this is a better schedule than any we've had. Not from where we'll be at the end of the year and if it's the toughest or not, because you can't know that ahead of time, for sure. But there's two Northern Illinois and North Alabama. That's it, right? Everything else is a reputable program and could be good. Right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. All right. So... and let's do two things, win or loss, and if it's one of the three games you'd like to attend next year. Okay?
One of three games I'd like to attend next year?
Yeah. All right. Your top three that you'd like to attend. At Utah, win or loss?
Loss.
When, no Huntley, they graduate a bunch of people, we take them down. All right.
Oh, so now they so poo-poo.
That's right. That's right there. Michigan State in Provo, win. They're terrible.
That's a win. That's a win.
They're terrible.
This isn't your daddy's Michigan State team.
Or even your Michigan State team from a couple years ago. At Arizona State, win.
It's a win, baby.
3-0. Are any of those three games ones you would be in your top three to attend?
Top three to attend? I'm going to say no.
Okay, me either. At Minnesota, loss. And that's the one I'll likely attend.
Row the boat.
Is that in your top? If I still live there, we definitely. I'm still going.
Yeah.
I'm still going.
No, that would be in my top three to attend for sure. I mean, they're going to be a top 15 ranked team. Still at the end, by the end of September next year, regardless of what happens, right? Mm-hmm. That's a great, and we could be rolling in there 2-1. I mean, that'd be a fun game.
That'd be a fun game. Utah State in Provo the week of general conference.
It's a win, baby.
That's in my top. I think that's in my top.
It might be in my, no, it's not in my top. I have to keep it out. Sorry.
Okay. So that's 2 weeks in a row. Missouri Tigers, October 10th in Provo.
It's a win.
Loss.
Oh, come on. You hate the Cougars.
You've already got a loss, too, you big Cougar hater. Speaking of Cougars, how about the Houston Cougars the next week? That's a win.
Yeah, that's a win. It's in Provo.
Then at Northern Illinois, I don't even know if they're good this year. Is Northern Illinois any good?
We are about to predict a ridiculous record, but I'll go ahead and let us.
Northern Illinois is terrible. They're 3-6 this year.
There's no way the numbers we're predicting right now are going to happen.
Of course not. That's ridiculous. I said we're going to beat Utah and Salt Lake. It's just stupid. And that Michigan State Arizona State game, we'll lose one of those.
Probably. There's no way we get to the NIU game with one loss.
It'd be fun.
There's no way.
All right, at Boise.
I have us at least two losses by then.
Two losses by then, for sure. At Boise,
I think a third. I just don't know who the third team is.
We lose at Boise.
We lose. But you know what? That would be a fun one to go to if I didn't have to actually attend it.
Yeah, No, I'm not interested.
I don't know that I want to sit in that stadium with those fans.
Stare at the, yeah, they don't like us.
But it'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty cool to go up there and win one, though.
That would be fun. San Diego State in Provo. I'll take that as a win. And no, I have no interest in going. North Alabama in Provo.
North Alabama High School. I think that's a win.
I think that's a win. And at the Cardinal, would you want to go to that game?
That's in my top three.
Yeah, I think it's in my top three, too. But I hate them, and I would like to see us win. Hate strong, and that's why I used that word.
Yeah, you really hate Stanford.
I can't stand them. Elitist. Elitist garbage.
Like, right, I think that's not, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see what they look like next year, right? But this is a team that's that a lost to, yeah, it's game. A winnable game. Like,
based
it's a
on
totally
what we know this year.
Yeah.
But like I said, who knows? We're talking about the end of next season. Where will their program and team be? Who knows?
Yeah. It's impossible to predict.
Possible to know. All right. So it's game time, Matt. And it's time for our favorite game we haven't done in a while. Answering machine.
Awkward.
Or maybe we should call it voicemail now. Should we call it voicemail?
Oh, and it's part of its charm is by calling it answering machine.
Okay.
And doing the whole, like, leave a message at the beep. Beep. Like, all right. Not how that works anymore. I don't know. I don't use voicemail. I actually hate voicemail.
Yeah, everybody hates voicemail.
I don't check my voicemail. Like, if I miss a call from you, I'm just going to call you back.
Yeah.
I will definitely call you back if you just text me and tell me what you needed.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to now explain how the game works. You ready?
Excellent. This is going to be confusing, folks.
One of us is going to pretend to be calling somebody. Already butchered this. Okay,
why
stop.
Don't you just like sit down someday and like think through a good way to explain?
I have, this. And then I forgot. Okay.
Why do you struggle so bad with this?
One of us is going to pick somebody involved in BYU sports, and going to call that person, and then we're going to have to leave a message for that person. This is terrible. Fine.
No, because one of us picks the person, and then the other person has to call them.
Yeah, I'd say it the wrong way. Okay. The point
is,
you're
not explaining it right. Your bad explanation is even wrong.
Well, it's always been wrong. I got it once. Remember? There was once where I explained it, and it totally made sense. Should have written it.
I have no recollection of this.
All right. So, Matt, why don't you start off?
I don't think
you call me. And I will give you a message. And then you leave a message. Do you understand what we're doing?
I will give you a message. You will give me a message. And then I will leave you a message. I don't know who's doing what. I'm going to start making sounds as if I'm dialing because phones still do that. And then you will have a voicemail greeting of somebody from BYU Athletics, and then I will leave that person a voicemail at the tone. But I don't know who the person is until you start providing this fake greeting.
We don't talk about this ahead of time. Nobody knows. Okay.
All right. Boop, 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 boop. Ring, 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 ring.
Are we on Press Your Luck? What was that noise?
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
Stop! All right, go ahead. Sorry, go again. Dial again.
Okay, this is how phone dialing actually sounds now.
All right. Hello, you've reached the voicemail of Jeff Grimes, offensive coordinator for the BYU Cougars, and may I dare say, I have one of the best mustaches in America. People call me Tom Cruise. Anyway, by the way, not 1980s Tom Cruise, more like 1990s, getting older before Blue Blood Tom Cruise. But anyway, that's not the point. Thank you for calling. I can't take your call, so leave me a voicemail, and I'm unlikely to respond to you. Thanks. Bye. What are you laughing? Leave a freaking message.
You said Tom Cruise.
I said Tom Cruise. Oh my god!
It's Tom Selleck, dude. Tom Cruise. Oh.
No, 1980s Tom Cruise?
Bad Blood Tom Cruise? Blue Blood Tom Cruise? What are you talking about? Oh, has Tom Cruise ever had a mustache in anything he's ever done? Oh, that's great. That's gold, Jerry. That's gold.
I'm looking at Tom Cruise mustache.
While you look that up, I'll go ahead and leave my fake voicemail. Hey, Coach Grimes, it's actually Tom Selleck that you look like, not Tom Cruise, but that's not what's important here. What I will say to you, Mr. Grimes, is that whatever you are doing the last couple weeks with the offense, keep doing that thing. If it's Roderick calling pass plays, whatever it is, you guys should just keep doing it. It is working. Don't try and even build on it. Don't try and twist it. Don't try and like come up with a new angle on it. Just keep doing it. Okay, just keep doing it exactly the way you've been doing it, and we can win out on this thing. All right, man, good luck. Oh, Tom Cruise.
You know what I found? I found a picture on the internet.
The first time you said it, I was like, oh, he's just kidding.
Of Tom Selleck.
And then you kept saying.
Without a mustache.
Now you're saying Tom. Oh.
So I found a picture of Tom Cruise with a mustache.
I'm Googling that real quick.
And he also had a goatee in The Last Samurai. Or a full beard, maybe, in The Last Samurai.
Yeah, what movie is this with them? Was that Born on the 4th of July where he had the mustache?
I'm not seeing a caption with it. I might have been Born on the 4th of July before he comes home. Huh. I don't know.
No, here we go. This is one with him with a mustache that is not Born on the 4th of July. Let me see what I can... See if I can get a handle on what this is.
And then they also show Henry Cavill with a mustache in the last Mission Impossible movie. That ended up having to be blanked out in the Justice League movie.
So yeah, he definitely has a mustache and like whiskery beard in parts of Born on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
But you know who shows up prominently in my search for Tom Cruise mustache?
Tom Selleck. Yeah. So I'm not the first person to have said this wrong. Apparently.
Maybe not. But okay.
Okay, so it was terrible, but it led to comedy, so it's good.
Yeah, it's great.
You laughed.
Sorry, everybody. I lost control there for a minute.
You laughed for like 5 minutes straight. So we'll see whether other people laugh. All right. Now I'm going to dial and you are a person. All right.
Just make no sense.
Just shut up and get ready.
Of course I'm a person.
Just get ready.
All right.
All right.
Oh, I'm ready. Hey, you've reached the cell phone of Alex Barcelo, BYU Cougar point guard and rising star in BYU basketball. I'm not available to take your call right now because I'm busy scoring buckets. Leave me a message and I'll get back to you.
Hey, man, this is the Rising Shot podcast. We'd love to have you on the show sometime. That'd be great to chat with you. But more importantly, we're really glad to have you and glad you're able to play this year and score. I would say it'd be great if you could grow a few inches and rebound because I think that's what we need at the moment. But otherwise, it's been great having you on the team and we look forward to a lot of buckets. Was that awkward enough?
It was a little awkward and I didn't have time to work in a mustache joke because you gave me that material way too late.
That's true.
And we hadn't gotten too much basketball tonight, so I thought it'd be good to at least throw that in there. BYU basketball coming down to Houston to play the Cougars on Friday night.
Yeah. And you won't be there because you're going to a high school football playoff game.
I actually had to sell my tickets. We are going to go to a high school that is right here down the road is playing a playoff game Friday night. We will be attending that. So.
That's good. It's good. You should go attend that. I would say this. I am optimistic about the team, but I feel the same way about them as I did a week ago when Don wanted us to overreact. I think they're a third place WCC team. I think they've got an outside shot at the NCAA tournament, probably the NIT, and I think rebounding is going to be their fatal flaw all year.
And I think they're going to get worked in Houston.
I think that's the likely outcome, yes.
It's going to be a long night. I would love to be there if we didn't have – but this is just – this is a conflict that I can't get out of.
No.
So, I think it's going to be a tough night.
Yeah, I think they're just going to struggle all year with rebounding like they did against San Diego State. I think they're going to give up a lot of offensive rebounds, especially against teams with good interior play. It's going to be a thing, I think, all year. But I'm still optimistic. I like what Pope is doing, and I like their emphasis on defense and the effort this team gives. So I think it's great. All right, Matt. Well, that's all we got.
All right.
Anybody else got a – you got anything else you want to say? It's just the two of us. So you got any more Tom Cruise mustache or
– No, I think I've seen enough pictures of Tom Cruise and his mustache.
Yeah, probably so. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. We didn't mention the email address. You can always email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com if you'd like. Chase Blyle did to thank us for his gift card for the drawing last week. So, there you go, Chase. And then you can support the podcast like Chase did at patreon.com/riseandshout. We will be off next week because I'm out of the country, but we'll be back again in 2 weeks to talk about the San Diego State game, more basketball. Who knows what else? Maybe some other Ed Norton and his mustache, or Tom. I don't know. What's another famous Tom? Is there another famous Tom Hanks? Tom Hanks mustache.
I don't know.
Or something like that. But thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. We will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
You just wish you had Tom Cruise's mustache.
I actually grow a pretty sweet mustache.